is Davin's Den. Is Davin's Den.
Multitasking like a mofo. I'm multitasking, twisting, I'm turning.
I see that. I'm so impressed.
I'm quite limber.
And those three oranges that you're keeping up in the air, amazing.
Yes, those are Hulk Hogan's balls. That's what I need to do. He has three, you know. That was an awful joke I made.
He does seem to like them touched.
Yeah, that kind of disappeared, didn't it? That whole thing?
Yeah, it did.
Good for the Hulkster. It's none of my business what he's into. What, is this not working properly? Oh, wait, hold on. Check. Test? Oh, crap. All right, let me...
You're not... Well, you're hearing me okay.
Yeah,
I'm
here
so
I am.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi. Yeah. Hold on. We see you. We hear you. It's Davin's...
I'm talking. Check. Test. No, it's low now. All right.
I mean, it just goes on lower
test.
Level.
Yeah, I can't have that.
No, we can't have that. We can't have the host being mute on a podcast. It kind of defeats the purpose.
As much as many would like. All right, hold on. Check. Test. Test. No, that's not working. That's worse.
Oh, that's bad.
So weird.
Yeah, I know. You got it going before, but maybe talk nicely to it. Blow in its ear. What works for you, Joe?
Test, no?
What's that?
I said maybe talk nicely to it. Blow in its ear. What works for you?
It says nice talk. It goes a certain amount of way.
Nice talk. Wine. That works. But, he's bringing out the heavy artillery. He's,
no, not really.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, they're all different kinds of tubes and wires being checked. I feel like I'm in... I'm wondering if I should be touching the table here, because it seems like there's some kind of electrical experiment happening. Either everything will be cool, or I'm going to get a perm.
Because you're there.
I had an eighth grade teacher explain electricity to the class, and I was like, for one shining moment, I understood it. And I went, it's not as mystical as it was. I understand what he's saying.
Test. All right, there we go. You want to finish that? Finish your electricity story, Pip.
And then, like, as soon as the test was over, I was like, what was that again? How does that work? And now I'm back to, ooh, magic.
Thank you, Pip, for I appreciate you.
Miracle.
I appreciate you, your tales with Mr. Science. They were timely and important.
Thank you, Mr. Reinert. I know you tried your darnest, but I'm back to cavewoman days. Ooh, magic.
Well, unless he thought his career was a waste, it just bought us 3 minutes. And really, that's all we could ask for.
That's all we care about, really.
Let's do some School of Fools. Wait, are we now? Motherfucker, it's not working. Oh.
What? You know?
Hold on, stop. Check. Wait.
It's
I can hear you.
Hold on. I know you can hear me, stupid. Test. Now.
Something's going on.
You're lighting up on the board.
No.
Check. Oh, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
I wonder what's going on. All right, maybe it is working. Oh, that's weird. I don't know.
God.
Now apologize.
No, I mean, I had should have... Yeah, I had this all figured out at one point, but I don't now. All right, let's do some School of Fools. This is Pip's blog, so I will present it to you, and then Pip can pontificate. Can pip-tificate, as the kids say.
God help us all.
So this happened at Rutgers Law School. The controversy over the use of a racial slur that has embroiled a public law school in New Jersey began with a student quoting from case law during a professor's virtual office hours. The first-year student at Rutgers Law School in Newark, who is white, repeated a line from a 1993 legal opinion, including the word, the slur, when discussing a case.
The N-word.
The actual word. Yes. What followed has jolted the state institution, unleashing a polarizing debate over the constitutional right to free speech on campus and the power of a hateful word at a moment of intense national introspection over race, equity, and systemic bias. The tension comes at a time of heightened sensitivity to offensive words on colleges and law school campuses, where recent uses of slurs by professors during lessons have resulted in discipline and dismissal. In early April, in response to the incident, a group of black first-year students at Rutgers Law began circulating a petition calling for the creation of a policy on racial slurs and formal public apologies from the student and the professor, Vera Bergelson. Now, let me ask you a question. That when you created that policy, would you have to use said words to create that policy? Just saying. We could be going down a rabbit hole there.
Oh, yeah. It's like, let me list them all. Well, you know, it could be done like... Oh, God, famous comedian.
George Carlin?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
George Carlin's seven words that can't be used on the air. And it's like, well, you have to say them. Explain to me what I can't do.
My ears. I can't. At the height of a racial reckoning, a responsible adult should know not to use a racial slur, regardless of its use. In a 1993 opinion, states the petition, which has been signed by law school students and campus organizations across the country. Oh, we have a petition. We vehemently condemn the use of the N-word by the student and the acquiescence of its use, as the petition says. However, in certain rap songs, we like to sing along. Bergelson, 59, has said that she did not hear the words spoken during the video conference session. Really? Did it crap out? Okay. Which the three students attended after a criminal law class and would have corrected the student if she had. Would you have? No, you wouldn't have. Put your head down, stupid. That's what anybody would do. Soon after the professor's office hours in late October, a white classmate contacted the student who quoted the epic to say that she should have avoided using it. Like the plague! A scourge of N-words upon us!
Oh, they're falling! They're falling on me!
I'm being covered in N-words!
It's raining N-words!
Hallelujah!
It's raining
just
N-words!
See, just see little people with hoods dancing in the street.
I'd love to see the audience when that's... It's like, it would be like the audience reaction from when they started singing Springtime for Hitler. Same look.
Really?
The student, a middle-aged woman studying law as a second career, offered her phone number to continue the discussion and also arranged for a lengthy conversation with the third student, her lawyer said, to which the young first-year student says, "Nobody talks on the phone, asshole. We can do this with emojis. What's wrong with you, woman?" One of the students later told a black classmate a recording of the meeting, which is no longer accessible, was discovered online and shared. Like Raiders of the Lost Ark, an excavation. It was found. They had to get past the asps to find the video online. N-word, very dangerous. Black students from the class who were offended by the slur expressed their concerns to another professor who alerted Dean David Lopez soon after the incident, several officials said. Bergelson said she was never told about her students' objections, learning of them only after the petition surfaced in April 6, 5 months later. Within days, she said, she convened the meeting with the criminal law class and other first-year students to discuss the incident and to offer an apology. I am sorry, you N-words, you. The student who has not been publicly identified also apologized. I apologize, Waddle Doodle, during the meeting. We're all so fucking sorry. I wish I could go back in time. And if I was going to go back in time, this is the moment I would go back to. Out of all the things in history. No, I'm not going to kill baby Hitler. I'm going to take back me reading the case law. That's the shit that's... We're not going to put a bulletproof vest in front of Martin Luther King Jr. I'm not going to say the N-word when I'm reading case law. If I could just go turn back time and dance on an aircraft carrier, all would be good. Oh, wait, that was Cher. Never mind.
If I could straddle a big cannon.
It was a great video. Good for Cher. Great ass. Lopez has apologized for failing to address the students' concerns promptly. A delay that contributed to their frustration was cited in the petition, but that has done little to quell the tension. Recently, faculty meetings, including one held the day after a police officer was convicted of killing George Floyd, have been marked by heated exchanges and participants said. A racial healing session that was organized by students was filled with raw emotion. So much for the healing fuckers. The student who uttered the slur is distraught. I would imagine so, the professor said, and has enlisted the help of a lawyer known for her expertise in free speech and due process. The lawyer said, don't say that word no more. On Friday, a faculty meeting included... I could have fucking done that for you. A faculty meeting included a discussion about whether to voluntarily bar racial epithets from being spoken in class, even if citing legal documents verbatim, as Lopez has requested to be done. However, if you find out that somebody of a persuasion of color has put a whoopee cushion on your chair, only in that case may you shout out said epithet.
That's the thing.
That's what they came.
That broke the camel's back.
That was it. That was the line, right?
You made people think I farted. Well, you're an N-word.
You get it.
Okay.
I share the views of several of our faculty.
I got to interrupt for a second. So I guess the whoopee cushion would be brought into court as Exhibit A.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Could you please sit on that cushion the way you did that fateful day when you come to work? Yes, Your Honor. I rest my case.
Unfortunately, in 60 years from now, we will not be allowed to say whoopee, so we can never read the case law of the whoopee cushion.
Right. Because whoopee means sex, and sex means rape.
Only when you have it, Joe.
Well, you know, people are stubborn.
Joe's going to run for your local school board, boys and girls.
People are stubborn.
He's not wrong.
Holy crap.
You know, they do stick to their guns. No means no, but does it? Does it really? Is there wiggle room?
How can I possibly rinse all the rapiness off of the show off of me later?
Could no mean not this minute, but maybe 5 minutes from now? Could no mean possibly if I buy you a nice dinner? Why are you being so stubborn? That's all Joe's saying.
Can we go to a steakhouse?
Yeah, see? Now no means filet mignon.
Oh, God.
I share the views of several of our faculty members who understand and express to their students that this language is hateful and can be triggering. Trigger! I've been triggered like a horse, even in the context of a case, and ask that it not be used. He wrote in an email to the school community soon after the petition began circulating. Among the professors who signed a statement in support of Bergelson and the student are some of the school's most prominent faculty members, including John Farmer Jr., a former New Jersey Attorney General, and Arnold K. Chen, the state's one-time public advocate. Both are former deans of Rutgers Law School. Although we all deplore the use of racial epithets, said Gary L. Francione, a law professor who has also signed the statement, the idea that a faculty member or law student cannot quote a published court decision that itself quotes a racial or has other objectionable word as part of the record of the case is problematic and implicates matters of academic freedom and free speech. The petition organizers said they were busy with final exams and would have no immediate comment beyond the petition. Listen, not for nothing. Like, we give a shit about racial justice, but we gotta pass. I mean, torts ain't gonna pass itself. let's see. Any public use of racial epithets can carry a risk of steep professional consequences. Oh boy, howdy.
Yeah.
The head of the journalism department at Central Michigan University was fired last year after using the same slur when quoting from a lawsuit. An Emory University Law School professor was placed on administrative leave for more than a year after using a word in discussions with students about race. Rutgers officials willing to talk openly about their opposition to the students' demands has said that the school, as a public institution, has a greater obligation to safeguard students' and teachers' First Amendment rights to free speech. I don't think law schools should have rules that are stricter than the Constitution of the United States, said Dennis M. Patterson, a professor. And you know, when it comes to the Constitution, these people would know.
you would hope.
Lopez and his co-dean, Kimberly Mutcherson, said in a statement that the discussion underway had nothing to do with stifling academic freedom, ignoring the First Amendment, or banning words. Rather, they said it was about how best to create a classroom environment in which all of our students feel seen, heard, valued, and respected. They got a fucking petition that's been passed around. You can't be more seen and heard than a petition, people. What's next? A go fucking fund me? Enough. We'll do a fundraiser for you. Are you an ill comic? We'll fucking help you. The controversy began on October 28th after a criminal law school law class all first-year students are required to take. In discussing the circumstance under which a criminal defendant could be held liable for crimes committed by his co-conspirators, the student repeated a quote from a defendant that appeared in an opinion written by former state Supreme Court Judge Alan B. Handler. He said, and I'll use a racial word, but it's a quote. I'm not saying it. The student said, according to a summary...
Can I stop you right there? Can I stop you right there?
You just
the
did.
When the woman read that, she said that, right?
She
that's
did.
That's what it says.
Okay, good. It's a key thing.
According to a summary of the incident written by professor, he said, I'm going to go to Trenton and come back with my expletives. Which is it's a good use of the word expletives. Samantha Harris, a lawyer representing the woman, said the school would be abdicating its responsibility to train lawyers if it encouraged professors to avoid epithets in all contexts. But we're delicate. When you're an attorney, you hear all kinds of horrible things. No, I'm dealing with the best of the best, said Harris, a former fellow at FIRE, the Foundation for Individual Rights of Education. That's a cool acronym. You represent people who have said horrible things. Hey, Joe! And they know you, who have done horrible things. They've seen your body of work, she said. You can't guarantee a world free of offensive language. Boy, you can't. Adam Scales, a black professor at Rutgers Law who has signed the statement of support for Bergelson, said he opposed even voluntary limits on speech. But he said the number of his colleagues who believe racial epithets should never be spoken regardless of the context context is not insignificant. Using euphemisms like the N-word to avoid a racial slur, he said, obfuscates.
Fucking, there you go.
There it is.
Yeah, it's a bitch of a word, huh?
It most certainly is. We'll just call from now on, obfuscates will now be known as the N-word. It's much easier to be said. It's repugnant history.
And you're getting less trouble saying it.
Sure. There is something extremely antiseptic about the term N-word, he said. There is something that softens the impact. You think? That's the purpose. The faculty discussions held by video conference have been fraught, he said. I can't imagine a less hospitable setting than a 100-person Zoom call to discuss racism. He said, well, all right, slow the fuck down. Have you been to a Klan rally? I mean, that might be a less hospitable place to discuss racism. Yeah. Listen,
they're not going to be that receptive.
Yeah, you know, I find the Zoom meeting very stressing. Can we go to a Klan rally where I'll feel more free to speak my mind about my take on racism? Oh, my God.
Well, I think we've your plan of venue has already told us what your take is going to be.
Well, I want to be inclusive.
There you go.
It's a demoralizing time for everyone involved. Bergerson, who emigrated from Moscow as an adult, said her belief that slurs rooted in racism, bigotry, and misogyny should be avoided in class stems from her personal history. Her grandmother, she said, was a journalist who was executed in 1950 by the Stalin regime for associating with the Jewish Anti-Fascist Committee. Another relative was executed in 1952. So it was a biannual event. Bergelson said her mother, who was 16 when her own mother died, never fully recovered from the trauma. I certainly grew up in the shadow of this tragedy, she said. I am very sensitive to how a word can trigger painful episodes. You know what can also trigger painful episodes? Being fucking executed.
Yeah,
I would never use the words in class.
Yeah.
But now in rush hour traffic, I think I'm within my rights. Still, she said, other professors and students should be free to make their own decisions. And Pip, we will let you have first crack at this very challenging topic.
Yeah, I mean, of all the stories that we're going to do this week, it's like I'm a sucker for punishment, and for some reason I picked this one to talk about.
Okay.
You know, there are a couple different thoughts that I had about this. First of all, I am really wishing that we were at a place where we would be able to use all the words when we're talking about subjects discussed in academia. Particularly,
no, yeah, I mean, you can use them here. Feel free. They're said quite often.
Yeah.
In this very space.
Yeah, I know. Everything's said here. Including, let me out. No.
Yes, but nobody hears those words.
Nobody hears me screaming that.
Those very quiet words. Because you're stubborn.
Because the muffling.
Because you're stubborn.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The thing is that I wish that we could use all the words, because as one of the people in the article said, you're studying to be lawyers, and you're going to hear everything. If you are being, you feel like you have to be sheltered from words in a classroom, then perhaps you're not made of the stronger stuff that you're going to need to be in law. That kind of made an impression on me. But the other thing is that this is really a tricky situation, because it's like, well, we're going to make theory about what we can use in these classrooms. And so, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to take a list of words and we're going to keep tacking on words onto the list until, you know, everybody is satisfied. That'll never happen, because there are, you know, one person's racial epithet is another person's just like, oh, that's a word I use when I'm singing my rap songs. You know, I understand that people of color are, particularly now, because we're at such a flashpoint in race relations, that it's very sensitive. I mean, for white people as well. I'm not saying that it's only a people of color issue.
Well, I'll tell you, Pip. When I'm thinking about the N-word, I often think, how will white people react? These are very fraught time for white people.
Well, I'm saying that because the person that first brought up the situation to the student who used it was a white student. So, I mean, I'm not saying that this is going to be, we're worrying about their feelings, but I mean, I'm just saying that it's a significant issue for both white students and people of color.
I'll tell you what, I think the Asians get away scot-free with this. I feel good for the Asians.
Oh, you're feeling like they're doing
they're doing all right.
Well, right now,
they're doing
doing
well.
But the thing is that I am sensitive, as these people are, to the fact that, you know, we have to do better and we have to learn. You know, our race relationships are at a low. We're trying to, everybody's trying to do better. Most people are trying to do better and trying to learn from what people of color are saying that are the things that have oppressed them and continue to oppress them. Having said all that, I think that not being able to use certain words in an academic setting, particularly when you are not using the word yourself, you are quoting from case law or perhaps from literature, poetry, whatever. I think that this should be allowable excuse to be able to use those words because, you know, like particularly quoting from the law, she even said, this is not my word, I'm quoting, this was in the case law, and then continued and used it and went on. People are sensitive to it now, and I think out in the world, these words should not be used. But when you're, how are we supposed to learn if we can't talk about it? And the place to talk about it is in a classroom, in academic setting.
Listen, here's the thing. This is case law. Yeah. The word is context. Yes. The judge is telling you, because it was written by a judge, how he looked at it the certain way, how the word was used.
Right.
And like somebody said there, you know, just saying the N-word sanitizes it. No, was this used as me and my homies, or was this used in an aggressive way? Mm-hmm. How was the word used?
You're showing the indignity of the word. And basically she mentioned that in something, as she prefaced it before she read it, and something that was case law, showing the indignity of the word. I do a joke in my act about Huckleberry Finn, where that word is throughout the book.
But, right.
And there was actually a teacher that might be fired because she read some of it, that has that book, has that word through the book fully. But it's teaching the indignity of the word. So for these black students to say, well, I'm offended, but we're trying to make things better by prefacing the indignity of that word as it goes into case.
Actually, in this case, we're not trying to make things better. We're not trying to make things worse. We're discussing a case. We are law students. That is what we are here for. We're not here to save the world in this matter. We're here to learn the law so that perhaps we can help save the world. Right now, we are getting an education. Right. Don't give me the lawyer who gets fucking triggered. Get the fuck out of here.
The woman that wrote it, you know, somebody called her, you know, what you said was wrong. Well, let's discuss it. Let's have a discussion. We'll discuss it about it, you know?
Well, after my petition, we can.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I said, after my petition, we can discuss.
Right, but, you know, and then there was word that there was a discussion in a positive manner. And for the black students, you know, go, well, we love to discuss. We're studying now. It seems a little bit, you know, it just seems that they're being offended for the simple fact of being offended to make a statement. But it's making a statement on a word that in a situation on case law has been used to show the indignity of the word, which a word that they should be able to use fully as they move forward in their law career to show the indignity and right some of the wrongs in court cases.
Well, Joe, I'm sure if any of them work work with human beings, I am sure that all the human beings that they represent will never use offensive words.
Never.
I am sure they will all speak the Queen's English, and they will never use slurs or expletives, because they know they are dealing with a lawyer that gets triggered by such words, and they want their lawyer to do the best job possible.
Right.
I'm
sorry. And like I said, I was on grand jury duty. And day after day, the rape and drugs and, you know,
and that was before you left your car.
Right, I know, right, exactly. And then there was court. No, but I mean, little 14-year-old girls being raped and all this horrible stuff.
Leave your pals' proclivities out of this topic right now.
But the stuff these DAs have to bring up, and one of my friends is a DA, and that's, you know, former DA in Nassau County, she talks about this stuff. You're going to have to deal with this stuff.
But Joe, I know bad things happen, but what must we use such language?
To preface a point on an indignity of something Yes.
And what? But like, it wasn't used to preface a point. The woman was just trying to cover her ass, which I don't blame her for.
I don't blame her.
She was not trying to make a point. It was not a discussion about. The only reason that word was being discussed was the context and how the judge looked at it. That is legal thinking. Legal thinking is different than regular thinking.
Right.
Legal thinking has nothing to do with your fucking feelings. Legal thinking is the law. What does case law say? What does the precedent say? What have judges said about this? Has this been ever spoken on? That is how you legally think. It's not about your fucking feelings. It has nothing.
Also, if there is a case where, you know, that word is in there that they have to read, you know, well, what did he actually say? You can't, and like you said, to just use the N-word, and it takes the sting off of that word. We're in a situation where it was a fight or something like that. That you know, that kind of gives an indication of that situation.
Listen.
You know, and like Davin said, this is court, you know, this is court, you know, where it's not regular speech. It's court. Everything is as it was, what was said, what, you know, and you can't start, you can't sugarcoat that.
Right, right. Well, the thing is that I don't know what the content of that particular case that was being discussed was. But say that they were trying to, the case law that was being written up was to distinguish the difference between was it a hate crime versus not a hate crime. And so if you're going to be pussyfooting around with what words were spoken.
Excuse me, I don't like that word. Can you please say vaginal footing around?
Vagina footing. Vagina
better.
Dancing.
Better.
Vaginal footing. I gotta remember that.
Vaginal footing. You were vaginal footing around the topic, Pip. It was slippery, but it was accomplished.
It's a slippery slope.
It most certainly is.
But the thing is that you say that you're discussing a hate crime. You in the case law, you are going to use the actual words because that does it.
No.
How you decide is contingent.
No.
No.
Words. I find. When racists and neo-Nazis are doing hateful things, still, they are very sensitive about what words they use. Because I will tell you, words hurt. I mean, sure, you beat somebody up because they're race or their religion, but to use a disparaging word, that's a line too far.
Yeah, I'm not going to say...
And the whole thing, when you look at the whole order, the woman prefaced it before she said the word. She said the word. Some people, the petitioner, she got a call that said some people were upset. Oh my gosh! I apologize. Can we have a discussion about it? They go to the people that signed the petition. Look, the teacher, myself, we want to have an open dialogue about this. Sorry, we're studying. You know, so it's, you know, I mean, they made a grand effort to discuss this and to bring it out, and you know, over a point that is valid out of opinion, and the people that were upset about that just now we can't, you know, no, we can't be bothered. So over something that in their career in law, they're going to have to face and discuss to show the indignity in certain cases of that of the words spoken and other horrible words.
All right. You know? Let's move on. These people are all going to go into a contracts law where the language is not going to use these words and they will be safe and snug and it'll be wonderful and they're going to impact society. I can't wait for these lawyers. Yay. All right. We all agree it's a bunch of horseshit. All right. Let's move on to comics in the news where we give you more racism.
Yay!
More racism, I say. This is
economy size racism.
This is about comedian Tony Hinchcliffe who exactly. Tony Hinchcliffe, who was brought on stage by an Asian-American comedian. I think the guy's Chinese, although I'm not sure. An Asian-American comedian. The comedian who is going to say these words is a white male, so you're going to hear his opening monologue and the audience's reaction. And listen, I know the three of us not so funny, but kids, you are going to hear some artistic... Genius.
Well, I don't just say it's not more of a monologue. It's his opening statement as soon as he got on stage, right as soon as he got on the mic.
Well, yep. I'd like to think it was his artistic piece, his piece de la resistance. You know, I would like to think this took hours of creativity to write and to workshop. Because you know, Joe, and then I'm going to play the opening bit is one of the most important bits. You got to be funny and get him on your side right off the bat. And I'd like to think this comic did just that. All right.
And now it's time for Comics in the News.
puking in a fucking bucket. Oh, we make it a gunpowder. Oh, you want extra soy sauce. Oh, you borrow money from us. And you guys just eating it up, you fucking pussy.
Okay, that was the comedic waxings of Tony Hinchcliffe. So here's the story. American stand-up comedian Tony Hinchcliffe made several racist comments during a comedy show in Austin last week as Asian Americans continue to face rising hate crimes across the country. Peng Dang, all right, you're not helping yourself. Peng Dang, a Chinese national. I mean, even Joe wants to make a fucking comment, but this is not the time for it. A Chinese national stand-up comedian who performs in the U.S. shared a brief video of Hinchcliffe during the show last week where the former introduced him on stage. Dang told Next Shark on Wednesday that he was shocked and upset by the comment, which followed Dang's opening act that included a segment on hashtag Stop Asian Hate movement. A previous filming of the set has gone viral in China on Weibo. He said he had to step outside during the performance as the comments upset him. Afterwards, they did not speak to each other, but he did do some martial arts. While he's open for Hinchcliffe once before this incident, Dang noted the pair are not friends, you think? Dang tells USA Today he is still shocked by Hinchcliffe's words and sharing the video was the right thing to do. Tony never came up to me, talked to me, or apologized. I don't think he thinks that's offensive, Dang says. USA Today has made attempts to reach Hinchcliffe for a comment. According to Dang, much of Hinchcliffe's set consisted of, quote, Chinese jokes, causing Dang to walk out of the venue. He later returned to watch the rest of the show. Dang used his time on stage to speak out against the rise in Asian hate, he says. I hope there were some jokes mixed in. Dang was pleased with his set, he says. But, well, I mean, listen, I don't give a shit if an MC's pleased with his fucking set. They're all fucking pleased with their set. But didn't even have the time to celebrate or feel good about my performance when I heard that. I just couldn't believe what I heard. I get that. He waited a week to post the video after having an internal debate with himself. It was Dang v. Dang, he explains, because he didn't want people to think he was seeking attention or looking to destroy a fellow comedian's career. No, Hinchcliffe's got this under control. He'll destroy his own career. But he eventually felt confident in his decision. We always try to overlook racism and try to keep our heads down and be successful, thinking eventually this is going to be over, he says. But look at what has gotten us. Asian people are still getting attacked in this country. Boy, are they. Dang says he still hasn't heard anything from Hinchcliffe regarding the clip, other than motherfucker.
I heard that around the world.
Yes. According to Hinchcliffe's website, the comedian tours internationally with Joe Rogan and made an appearance on the Joe Rogan Experience in November. He also hosts his own podcast, Kill Tony, alongside co-host Brian Redban. So then there's more. He's speaking out with the racial slur, made offensive jokes around the blah, blah, blah. Comedian Peng Dang is speaking out after blah, 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 last week, which they both performed. When Hinchcliffe took the mic, he told the crowd to give it up one more time for Dang, using racial slur, and then followed up with offensive stereotypes while feigning an Asian accent. Hinchcliffe's remarks came to light Tuesday when Dang shared a clip on Twitter last week in Austin. I got to bring up Tony Hinchcliffe. This is what he said. Happy Asian AAPI Heritage Month. He wrote, May is Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month. Okay. So the video has been viewed more than a million times. Dang tells USA Today he's still shocked by Hinchcliffe's words and sharing the video was the right thing to do. Tony never came up to me or talked to me or apologized. I don't think he thinks so. All right. According to Dang, all right. So yeah, people are not really fucking digging this. So he said he waited a week to post the video after having an internal debate. We always try to overlook. Why is it the same shit? Why did I write the same thing shit twice?
No,
I thought
they
there was
did,
more,
right?
Yeah,
it's over and over again.
So other comedians responded to it on social media. Nobody's sticking up for Tony, according to this fucking thing. All right. Here's my first fucking reaction to this. Is this a put on? Is this a fucking hoax? Are we getting punked? Because I remember our friend Brett Eyman, who was on the show several years ago, he did one of these put-ons, which I advised him against, where he put on the Asian glasses, did the god-awful Asian accent, and then they staged it where, and he was talking to this Asian girl, and they staged it where her boyfriend came up and beat Brett up.
I don't even remember this.
This was all staged. People thought it was real. It went horribly wrong for Brett. I told Brett, I said, before I go, I wouldn't do this. Nothing good is going to come out of this, but he wanted to go viral.
Yeah.
There's reasons to go viral.
I understand.
So in the back of my mind, I have, is this a put on? Because there's no way a comic could be this fucking stupid. But then I know comics, and I go, well,
yes, they could.
They most certainly could be. This fucking stupid. And then, like, I'm thinking, all right, it's just like, maybe it's not a put-on, but it's a wink and a nod. Like, he's going after the audience for eating it up. But no, I don't think so. Here's what I think happened.
I would like to have heard Chen's set before.
Here's what I think happened. Context. And I've been in a similar situation. I've been in a couple similar situations. So you're sitting.
We heard your stuff about the Chinese. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. So you've been. So you sit in the back as the white male comic.
Right.
And you see somebody getting laughs because they're the Asian comic, the black comic, the gay comic, the handicapped comic, whatever the fucking is. Here's how comics think. Motherfucker, you're using that thing about you to get all these laughs. You wouldn't get these laughs without them. You're not funny, and I can't use it. That's an internal conversation many comics have had. I've been guilty of it. However, it's an internal conversation.
use your inside voice.
I use your inside voice. You don't grab the mic and then let it all go outside. You don't have to respect what the guy before you or after you's fucking doing. You got a job to do. It's unprofessional, in my opinion, though we've talked about before some do it, to berate the other acts on the show, let alone go with this. I think the audience in part was laughing. I'm not going to, you know, you might want to, oh, how could the audience laugh? I think they're shocked. I think a lot of it is like that fucking nervous laughter. Like, are we watching this? Is he chat? What is going on here? That we've seen that before, where the audience doesn't know what happens right before somebody gets hit.
Well, they're kind of like laughing, like you. Oh God, this is so outrageous! You couldn't possibly be. Oh God, I think he's serious.
Yeah.
My take from it is that obviously. Hinchcliffe put his foot in cow shit, and he made a stupid move. I think he might have reacted that way, maybe because he thought he might be able to get a laugh because he was Dang was talking about anti-Asian sentiment, and he went up there to get a shock laugh. That's my take. Now, Dab, going back to your point, where a lot of Asian comics rely on that whole Asian.
Well, not just Asian. A lot of comics rely on the obvious, whatever that is.
Gotcha. Okay, now, with that being said, I thought that. What I did was I looked at Dang's clips, and you think his clips would focus on that if that's his best stuff. He had some pretty decent stuff on there, which none of it faced him on him being Asian.
So, all right, so then what you're saying, Joe, from what I'm getting from this is, this guy's actually a pretty good comic. He's probably really concerned about what's going on in his community, you know, what's happening to the Asian community, and he's using his platform. There's nothing wrong with that.
No.
Right, and I think Hinchcliffe saw that and said, you know what, let me just be shocking on that, being jokingly shocking on that, because he just emphasized this anti-Asian sentiment, and I'll come out, and I'll just goof on the whole, you know, all the Asian slurs and stuff like that, and it backfired. It was a stupid move.
I was in a similar situation. I was working the South, as I used to do quite a bit. I was working with a black comedian. We'd never worked. I don't think we had worked together before, but we were there for the week. And I did have Jewish stuff in my act, but it wasn't like all Jew stuff. And I'm playing like a Southern room, whatever. And I had a good set. I vaguely remember this. And I'm like in the back of the room, and he said something anti-Semitic about me on stage, and I wound up shouting, not all the way, but I said something like, you wouldn't say that if I was right next to you. And he was bigger than me. It was something to that effect. Like, I did not let it stand. Yeah. Which maybe I should have. Like, you know, as a comic, should you just shut the fuck up and let it stand? But I was so incensed. I remember being so incensed, like, motherfucker. So I give this guy Dang credit for keeping his shit together, because clearly he was incensed. Now, comics, we have that code, you know, you don't turn on each other. That's what he was having. Should I release this? Should I not release this? You know what? I don't blame him for releasing this. Fuck Tony Hinchcliffe. I hope
for the same reason. Yeah, we do have that code, and I the only time I ever turned on that code is when an MC, I was doing a show for up in Albany, and the MC was using profanity and this, that, talking about hookers and stuff like that during the show where parents there with their high school kids and stuff like that. And I had to go up. He got yanked off stage. I had to go right up and it took me 25 of the 30 to get the audience back, and then I had to do public relations for the with the school, because, you know, I'm on. So I threw that motherfucker right under the bus. Now, with that being said, if Hinchcliffe reached out to Dang and said, "Look, dude, I fucked up. I'm sorry. You know, I was going for this and it didn't work out. You know, blah 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 blah." At least he came to him. But if Hinchcliffe didn't even think of going to the guy, you know, then you know what? You're game to be fucked.
I got to tell you, if you listen to this show, I am not a fan of, quote, cancel culture. Actually, I don't think there is a cancel culture, as I said many times. We've been doing this for years. But if anybody deserves to have their career taken away from them, and in part because of what Joe just said, that after stepping in the cow shit, he didn't try to make it right, this guy deserves not to have a career anymore. Now, that being said, there are certain audiences that this will appeal to. So this might actually work out to Hinchcliffe, because he's a rebel, because he's edgy. No, he sucks. This guy should never be on a main stage again. You are going to be that disrespectful, forget about to the audience, to a fucking peer. Yeah. With what's going on now, no matter what you think about his jokes or his act, you're going to be that disrespectful to open your set with that type of tirade. You don't deserve to share the stage.
And they're kind of like a liberal. Ironically, Anthony and those guys the venue is the Vulcan Comedy Club down in Austin, and Ant and those guys were just down there, they were discussing the show. But they go, look, it's Ant's crowd that was there and stuff like that. But they were saying that, you know, you do have, it is a very liberal city.
Mm-hmm.
You do have a lot of woke people that, you know, come in that, you know, come into that venue. So, you know, I don't know, but what I do think is that Hinchcliffe wanted to make a statement or try to make light of him, Dang's anti-Asian sentiment, and probably wanted to portray himself as an ignorant racist, goofing on that, and it backfired, and he portrayed himself as an ignorant racist doing that. And from a standpoint of comedy, if you go, and how important it is. And what he did was wrong, but just how an opening moment will screw you. If you go up to the mic stand and you have to untangle the cord for the mic stand for at least more than 3 seconds and horse around with it, it takes you 5 minutes to get the audience back. A little thing like that, you do a major faux pas like that, you're fucked.
Well, I mean, we don't know how the rest of his set went, but all right, we'll move on. But yeah, this guy's an asshole. I don't think this guy ever. I hope it doesn't turn around for him and it makes him fucking popular. You know, I hope Anthony doesn't have him on his show and blow this guy up to Anthony's audience, because quite frankly, that's the audience that would like this shit.
Yeah.
That I hope Anthony doesn't do this, because this guy wasn't being edgy. He was being an asshole. He showed no fucking skill.
But that's it's so blatant that he was. So the thing, he was. You looked at it, and Jesus Christ, you and I have been at this for 24, 25 years. You look at that and go, what the fuck is he doing? Now, you might say it's out of context because Dang was talking about the anti-Asian sentiment. But then again, what the fuck are you doing? Especially in this day and age, Look, I'm not for censorship. I'm not that. But you got to pick and choose your battles. And if you're going to say shit like that, you got to have a goddamn good argument why you're doing it. A damn good one. He didn't.
Listen, man, I think if there was more to this, his management would have put it out. He would have spoken. If there was like, hey, this is just the clip. You're not getting the rest of the story. This is where I went with it after that joke. I was pointing out why this is wrong, this, that, the other thing. Here's the rest of it. They would have done that.
Yeah.
No. This guy was just an asshole.
I think
why he's an asshole? Because if he did that, and like I said, there's also honor among comics. If he went to speak to Dang and said, look, dude, I'm sorry, I did it because of this, you know, I didn't mean that, I wanted to make a point, you know, against ignorance and stuff like that, I'm sure Dang wouldn't have released it, but the guy never said anything. Fuck you. You're game now, man. You're game.
Well, I think you guys are both forgetting that really edgy comic. I forget his name, but it was sometime during, I don't know, the mid-century, last century, that, you know, he did some really edgy stuff about Jews.
Lenny Bruce.
No. He did some really edgy stuff about Jews while the Nazis were going door to door and hunting them. But I mean, he really cut those Jews down in his thing. It was funny shit.
Okay, we're gonna move on. Thank you, Pip.
You know what I'm saying?
It's good to have I gotta tell you, Joe, it's so refreshing to see the failure up alive and close. I missed it. It really lands with a bigger thud when it's not on a little Zoom square. Wow, Pip. Wow, we don't know what you were going for, but thank you for trying.
Because Asians are being killed, and he's being edgy about Asians, and he's calling people race traitors.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Are you?
That's not the time to be doing that.
That was your point.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You need to speak to Davin after the show before we release the video.
Yeah, yes. Well, the video's here for all to see. I'm going to be releasing to everybody.
Everybody saw it, but you know what I'm saying. It's just like...
We're trying.
During the time that Asians are being hunted down and killed in the streets, that's not the time to be saying, oh, you're laughing at this filthy, horrible word for Asian person and saying, oh, you're a race traitor if you think he's funny. That shit is not funny. It's about as funny as telling anti-Semitic jokes when the Nazis were ruling. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, well, thank you for getting there. Okay. Wow, gotta tell you, COVID took nothing off Pip's fastball. Let's move it right along. Thank you, Pip. All right, so Saturday Night Live, this is a lengthy piece. I'll play the audio for it. It's a courtroom featuring a Luigi from the Mario Brothers and Wario, who I guess is Mario's arch enemy. I haven't played Mario in a long time. Back in my day, it started with Donkey Kong. I think things have changed since then, so I'm really not up with the Mario Brothers
video world.
Like, I remember Super Mario Brothers 1 and Super Mario Brothers 2. But anyway, so you're going to hear a lot of bad Italian accents. And so there's an Italian group that is offended by this. So I'm going to play the audio. It's about 5 minutes. And then we can discuss it.
And I know this is difficult, but were you present at the time of your brother's murder?
I was.
And how exactly was he killed? Sorry.
We had a friendly race with a go-kart. Then someone threw a banana peel out of Mario. His car spin out. He wiped out all over the pavement. I hear a noise like... And I had my brother was there.
And is the person who threw the banana peel present in the courtroom at this moment?
He is!
All right, let the record show that the witness has indicated Wario, the evil Mario.
Objection!
I'm sorry, the other Mario.
The prosecution rests, Your Honor.
He a monster!
Oh, I have food.
Don't worry, this is why they pay me the big bucks.
Would the defense like to call its first witness?
We would, Your Honor. The defense calls Wario. Wario, is it true, as many have put forward today, that you are evil?
No, I am not evil. I just misunderstood. And some of the anti-Italian hatred in this courtroom is disgusting.
Objection. His accent is really bringing it on himself.
Sustained. Watch it, Wario.
You know, funny you should mention his accent. Your Honor, I'd like to submit as evidence Wario's Super Mario Wiki fan page, and this is all real.
People are so mean online.
First, the section entitled Personality, and see if this doesn't sound defamatory to my client's character. Wario is generally lazy, ruthless, and greedy. He is foul and smelly as he eats a lot of garlic, his favorite food. Wow! Racist much?
Objection! He's eating garlic right now.
Let's just keep reading, shall we? Here's a section titled Friends. Wario has almost never been seen with friends. The only person who hangs out with him is Waluigi, the evil Luigi.
And I don't appreciate that description. Waluigi. It's like a weird Luigi, not an evil Luigi, Mario.
Objection! How is any of this relevant?
It goes toward how my client is unfairly painted as a villain. Listen to his theme song. Mario better than anyone.
Yeah, just like me, only different colors and I'm a little fatter.
And did Mario have a dark side?
Yes, he started eating mushrooms. At first it was a microdosing and then it became a macrodosing. And then sometimes you see him flashing like he was invincible. That's when he was on cocaine.
Objection! Overruled. This is fun.
And was there anything off between him and Luigi?
Yes, I hate for it to come out like this, but Luigi was sleeping with Princess Peach, Mario's wife.
Ooh. You and I, we never sleep together.
I never touch him under the overall.
What you say is true. How do you explain these text messages? Hey, Luigi, my faucet's dripping. I need a plumber who can really lay some pipe. From Luigi, 3:17 a.m., you up? I am. And then he sent this video. And I don't think I need to tell you what the growing noise means.
You son of a bitch! You ruined my life!
Luigi, no!
He's got a red turtle shell!
Hello. I'm Governor Andrew Cuomo.
And I'm Mario.
And we are two misunderstood Italian-Americans.
Well, I'm actually Japanese, but okay.
Sure. Please don't believe the horrible stereotypes you see in Mario World. Some of the bad guys are even called Goombas.
And I'm regular Mario. Don't worry about me. Sure, I died, but I still got three lives left.
And hopefully, so do I.
This has been a message from the Italian-American Anti-Defamation League.
And me, Wario.
All right, so there you go. So this offended people. Elon Musk's take on the video game character Wario in the latest episode of SNL was no joke to Italian-American activist group. The National Italian-American Foundation slammed the portrayal of the Italian accented villain from Nintendo's Super Mario Bros. Series and a series in a statement released Tuesday. In an era of enhanced sensitivity to racial and ethnic ethnical stereotyping, Saturday Night Live's sophomoric Wario skit demonstrates that a profound double standard continues to exist when it comes to acceptable caricaturing of Italians in popular culture. We prefer if the caricature isn't a caricature at all, the group's statement said. In the skit, Wario takes the stand in a courtroom accused of murdering Mario. At one point, he eats garlic. I'm not evil, just misunderstood, Musk says, in a faux accent. And some of the anti-Italian hatred in this courtroom is disgusting. A prosecutor objects that his accent is really bringing it on himself. Later, embattled New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, played by Pete Davidson, shows up and says Wario and he are both misunderstood Italian-Americans. Wario replies he's actually Japanese, which makes sense because the game was made by Nintendo, which is a Japanese country. But there you go. Company, not country. Please don't believe the horrible stereotypes you see in Mario World, Cuomo says. What about the turtles' eyesight? Some of the bad guys are even called Goombas, he adds, referring to a mushroom-shaped enemy in the video game. The skit concludes with a title card narrating, say, this has been a message from the Italian-American Anti-Defamation League. Well, you know what? If we're going to do all this woke shit, if we're going to be woke, then we got to be woke. And this certainly, this certainly was not woke. So, you know what, you wouldn't be able to do, like, an Asian character now with those stereotypical accents. You certainly couldn't do a step and fetch it black accent now. So, you know what, I think the Italian group, they got a point there. If everybody wants to be woke, you might as well get on board now, because this is probably going to age really badly.
Yeah. What do you think, Joe?
I think these people are absolute assholes.
One thing has nothing to do with the other, Joe. I didn't say they're not assholes. I'm just saying they have a point.
They're getting upset about a skit about a Mario brother, which is an Italian character?
Are you familiar with Americans? Are you familiar with Americans? Yes. Yes. We've moved on from Dr. Seuss and Mr. Potato Head. We're on to Mario Brothers. You seem shocked.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
That has nothing to do with... Yes, of course it's ridiculous. I'm not disagreeing with you. But if Saturday Night Live wants to be woke... If we're not going to do these stereotypes anymore, why can we do the Italian stereotype?
I got it now. Right. Okay. I got it now.
Like, I wouldn't recommend doing the drunken Irishman that we used to do see in the 70s and 80s and 60s. I wouldn't do that now. I mean, if you're going to be, well, if you're not going to be irreverent, if you're irreverent, you fucking do it all, and you know, you field all the complaints, and so be it, and Lorne Michaels stands by the product. But that's not Saturday Night Live. Sean Gillis got canned before he ever got started for doing anti-Asian shit on a podcast from years ago. So we're assuming Saturday Night Live is woke. Saturday Night Live is no longer counterculture.
You know what? Yeah, I'm gonna say something I rarely say. You got a point.
You say it more often than you think.
and the reason why, yeah, because you turned my head around on that. Because basically, fuck Saturday Night Live. Because the whole thing is they had Elon Musk on, and people were upset. Oh, well, I don't want to perform. I don't want to do this. Because we take a stand. And then you do this skit. Good. Fuck you. You caught shit for it. Hypocritical motherfuckers.
That's my point.
Good. All right. Agree. Agree.
Now, that being said, I agree with your initial point. The Italian group that's complaining, they're assholes too. I mean...
However, I didn't see your point till you explained it. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're so woke. Yeah, some of your cast members didn't want to perform with Elon Musk because he's this, that, and the other thing. And then you do this skit, and now you got caught shit for it? Good. Fuck you.
Yep. All right.
I don't have anything to add.
Sure. I mean, Pip, you still have a chance to bring this to a screeching halt.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay. Pip's holding her fire. There's still two more stories to get through. All right. A swanky private ski resort in Montana wants to use sewage as snow to prevent their ski season from going down the toilet. Oh, New York Post, you always have the best opening lines. The Yellowstone Club is applying for a permit to use treated wastewater to make fake snow for its ski slopes with the hope it'll help open its winter season on time. It'll also help use the increasing amount of wastewater at the club, whose members include Bill Gates, talk about stepping in shit lately, that guy has, and Justin Timberlake. It's an outside-the-box idea, not the litter box, Rich Chanley, environmental manager for the club, told the Associated Press, but it also checks a lot of boxes. The Big Sky Club, located near Yellowstone National Park, would join about a dozen other clubs that already make their slopes, wait for it, Joe, flush with snow by using wastewater. Oh, New York Post, you have all the best scribes. The practice remains controversial, though, because sewage treatment doesn't remove pharmaceuticals and traces of prescription drugs can make it into the snow. Once it melts, it can make its way into the waterways. But you know, this might be a good way to get people who weren't planning on getting vaccinated. Put a little COVID-19 up in that fucking snow. 2017 study by the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization found that only half the pharmaceutical compounds were removed in the water treatment process. It noted that evidence suggests some of the chemicals could affect human reproductive systems too, just as studies have shown on aquatic life. Modern wastewater treatment plants mostly reduce solids and bacteria by oxidizing the water. They were not designed to deal with the complex chemical compounds, says Burgai Lomizana Diallo, program management officer at the United Nations Environment Program and an expert on wastewater treatment. Because if you're going to fucking major in something, shit water is where you go. A permit application is under... you know what really interests me? Shit. Okay.
I think that we have the course studies for you, son.
I'm not smart enough to be a proctologist, but I still feel like I would get my hands deep in this field. I'm going to work in wastewater. I'm going to work hand in glove. A permit application is under review with the Montana Department of Environmental Quality. The club said initially it will use the fake snow in November and December in the milder months of the season. I gotta be telling you, if I knew that my ski resort was using sewage to make the snow and I had other options for my skiing enjoyment, this would no longer be my ski resort of choice. I don't want to take a face because I'm not very good. I don't want to take a face plant and a mogul of shit. I don't want to do that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
What are they going to rename the place to? Mount Shit?
Yeah. Well, that's a little
you're
offensive.
Skiing on wastewater, treated wastewater. No. Absolutely not. And also, besides that, now this stuff is going to melt and go into the ground. Who knows what it's going to do into the ground?
Yeah.
You know? It's a stupid idea.
I think even worse is their spa.
Their spa?
Their spa, using the wastewater for spa treatments.
Oh, well, nice facial.
Yeah, no, I'm not skiing. No, that's disgusting.
Listen. It's sort of like if this was in water and you were supposed to swim in it. You take one, you crash face down into this. You get it in your mouth. You're just like, why don't I just go swim in an infected lake, you know?
You know what? Gross. It would be fine if they could get the pharmaceuticals out, but they say they can't. So then don't do it.
I mean,
we would be like joking about it. If they could get the pharmaceuticals out, but it would just be a joke because they're getting it clean enough. But they're like, nah, we don't have this foolproof yet. But you know what? As long as we get the folks up here skiing, what's the worst that could happen?
You know, so you're sucking in a pharmacopoeia of God knows what that could potentially affect your reproductive system. Ah, I'm past my prime. What do I care?
Water is a hard sell.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, pharmaceuticals are very expensive, and so is skiing. So if I can get a 2-for-1, that's not a bad thing. You know,
you're at a party.
I'm having a hard time getting a stiffy. So if I can ski in a Mount of Viagra, that might be the way to go. now my pole is a ski pole.
Excuse me, which trail has the Lipitor on it?
Yeah, like to go down the Lipitor.
That would be great if they could specialize in what pharmaceutical was in which mountain.
I mean, it's fucking
stupid. You go to the Metformin Trail, the Lipitor Trail.
They got to warn you before you go down the mountain. You might have side effects of headaches, anal secretions. You know, right before you fucking, like, they got to give you all the pharmaceutical warnings right before you go skiing.
Yeah, one of them is like you can't ski. Oh, you have to have a full stomach.
Yeah,
in a full stomach.
skiing our resort might not be right with you. Consult a ski instructor and a doctor.
I know. We all know that a result of skiing could possibly be death, but it's also a result of some of the pharmaceuticals you'll be skiing on.
Yeah. Talk to your doctor before you ski with us. Why? Because you're going to break a leg. No, you might grow a fucking third eye, stupid.
As long as I can drink from the Nexium fountain before I go to their snack bar, I'm good.
Then they're going to have fucking lawsuits, like fucking vaginal mesh lawsuits. Like, did you go skiing at this resort 10 years ago? Do you have a herpes in your anus that won't quit now as a result? You call us now. We're getting together a class action suit. But don't say the N-word because that's going to offend the lawyer representing you.
you got to think about it. It's a private ski resort. It's not a municipal ski resort. So these people are paying a premium to ski.
Yeah.
But let me get this straight. I'm paying $1,000 a season, and I'm skiing on wastewater? Are you fucking out of your mind?
I know. This sounds like the unasked-for follow-up movie to Waterworld.
Dirty Water World.
Dirty Water World. Well, Water World was dirty water.
So this does not appeal to any of us non-skiers. All right, let's do our final story. An outstanding display. Is this working? Is it still registering?
Spite.
Am I still registering?
No.
Now I'm not.
Fuck it, Eva.
How about now? No, that's still not working.
No.
This is what happens when I...
Oh, well, it made a big difference when you... Speaking of it now. No. When you did it.
Now I'm talking.
Yeah, now it's good.
All right, now, motherfucker. All right, you got to keep an eye on that, please.
All right, sorry.
Let's do... Well, it's not your fault. Let's do an outstanding display of spit, as Joe has it written, but the rest of us call it spite.
There's one thing that unites the three of us on Davin's Den. It's an outstanding display of spite. In lieu of that, we'd like to introduce Outstanding Displays of Spite.
You know,
I
can't.
I did that.
I can't hear that at home.
I have no clue I even did this.
Oh, you can't hear it at home?
No, so I had no idea what that sounded like until now.
All right. Here we go.
I can hear it at home.
All right. What do you want me to fucking tell you? You guys can work out your audio issues without me. Can I go on with this now? I have my own audio issues tonight.
Yes, please.
A Wisconsin bakery says it ID'd a thief who ripped off cash and equipment from the store last month after printed a photo of the suspect on cookies. The owner of the Canforia Bakery in Milwaukee says the sticky-fingered sneak broke into the store on April 19th and made off with the goods, but not before he was caught on security camera. So the bakers used their sweet crime-fighting skills to create an icing image of the alleged perp on sugar cookies and handed the edible wanted posters out to customers. We made delicious sugar cookies with his image on them. We invite the Bayview community to come in on and take a bite out of the thief while supplies last, the bakery wrote in a post earlier this month on Facebook. If you recognize this man, please call the Milwaukee Police Department. The suspect was swiftly identified thanks to customer tips just hours after the bakery advertised the complimentary misfortune cookies, according to a follow-up post. However, police have yet to catch the guy. You know, sometimes spite is done for no good reason. This is outstanding spite for a good reason.
That's hysterical. And you got the guy on the phone. Yeah, that's him, man.
He was delicious.
It was delicious.
Yeah. He's great when you dunk.
Yeah.
Cookie dunk?
Yeah. What'd you think I meant?
I'm just trying to work with you, Pip. Just trying to work. I'm out of practice.
I know, obviously.
I'm not as limber as keeping the ball out of the fucking lava. Doing the best I can. I'm sorry. Sorry I have failed you on a few occasions this evening. I will raise my game.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I suppose I should raise mine. Oh, never
mind. No. It's because you can't that I must. So I take full responsibility for the lack of game on my part.
I think it's an. I'm just wondering if you could extrapolate that from other businesses. What could other businesses do? Like, they printed it on cookies and gave them out. But what could other businesses do get the word?
If you rip off a sex shop, you put it on a dildo. Then this guy's fucked. Or maybe that would be a pocket pussy.
Like a fleshlight?
Yeah, like a fleshlight. Like, you just put his fucking mouth on it. Hey, you thought you were funny stealing all our fucking Benoit balls, do you? Now look at it. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry sticking their cock in your mouth. Hope you're pleased. You happy now?
Because they sure are.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you could do it.
Hysterical.
I don't know. I guess in Joe's line of work, you put him in the bottom of the toilet so everybody could piss on him.
You put it on those urine pads.
A urine cake.
Yeah, yeah.
They could piss on them.
Yes.
Yeah. Urine cakes with your face on it.
Sure. It's great. Joe used to sell them after the show with the band.
Oh, that's hilarious.
All right. Let's take our final break of the evening. On the break, we got new music from Mike Walsh with Picking Fights and the Red Ants Band with Dead on My Feet. And you can learn more about both those artists at deucemusic.com. When we come back, we will do some scamming scammers with Carolyn. She wants a Valentine's Day gift, but Davin isn't feeling it. Fake Davin wanted to give her an engagement ring, and it led to problems. So we will pick up with that. Short break.